Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
At Team Toyota, they've been selling and servicing new and used Toyotas in your community for over 50 years. And you can reserve your next new Toyota with them today. You'll get a realistic timeline, and even in this crazy market, they won't charge you over MSRP. Or don't wait at all. With over 75 certified Toyotas, including a bunch of RAV4 and Highlanders, you can drive one home today. And you can always trust them to maintain your current vehicle. Their service and collision centers are high-tech, comfortable, and will save you time and money. Team Toyota can help you go anywhere you want, but they'll always be your hometown team. Just visit teamtoyota.net and choose from three locations in Langhorne, Glen Mills, or Princeton. Hey, folks, welcome to the Phillies Talk podcast presented by Team Toyota. I'm Corey Seidman. Opening day is right around the corner, just 10 days away as we sit here on March 20th. The Phillies on Monday begin their final full week of spring training down in Florida, just 9 games left to go in Grapefruit League play. So opening day is almost here, and the World Baseball Classic has really added some excitement to this part of the year, this part of the calendar when you know, most baseball fans are kind of, you know, the diehards are ready for the season, but I would say that most casual baseball fans and the ones in between casual and diehard are kind of gearing up for the season, slowly getting ready. But when you have the excitement of the World Baseball Classic, it just takes it to a whole nother level. And we've seen that throughout these last 2 weeks, particularly as it applies to Phillies players. Before we get into the bulk of the show today, just wanted to mention that if you've been asking or wondering what's going on with the Phillies Talk podcast, I know that we haven't had many over the last 3 weeks. The Phillies Talk podcast will continue to exist in the form that it always has over these last 5 years or so. There will be multiple podcasts per week, especially once this regular season begins. I will have a new co-host, but all that stuff is kind of still in the works above my pay grade. So if you've been asking me on Twitter, there's a reason why I can't reply yet. But don't worry, pretty soon here in the short term, we'll have a permanent co-host and we'll be good to go here on the Phillies Talk podcast multiple times per week. But wow, how about the excitement of Trey Turner these last 2 nights? The grand slam, the game-winning grand slam in the 8th inning against Venezuela to send the U.S. To the semifinals. And then in the semifinal against Cuba, Turner hits 2 more home runs in a 14-2 romp that sends the U.S. to the championship game. Actually, only the second time the U.S. has appeared in the World Baseball Classic Championship after winning it all in 2017, the most recent tournament. Turner, who's been batting 9th for the U.S., leads the tournament with 4 homers and 10 RBIs. He's slugging 1,000. JT Realmuto is 5-for-8 with a .636 on base percentage for USA. And Kyle Schwarber has reached base in 7 of 16 plate appearances. So all three Phillies that have been a part of Team USA have produced, they've thrived, and they may end up seeing one of their teammates in the championship game on Tuesday. Monday night is the other semifinal between Japan and Mexico. And Taiwan Walker, who dazzled for Mexico earlier last week against Great Britain with 4 scoreless innings and 8 strikeouts, Taiwan Walker might end up starting the championship game if Mexico advances past Japan. Walker may also be needed tonight against Japan in relief after left-hander Patrick Sandoval. But in a perfect world, you would think for Mexico, they're able to save Walker for the championship game. And that would be pretty funny if he's facing three of his Phillies teammates. Now, contrarily, if Japan beats Mexico, that would set up an extremely appealing championship game between the U.S. and Shohei Ohtani, who probably is not going to pitch in the semifinal because it would be short rest. He just threw 71 pitches 3 days ago. And look, this is still the spring training time of year. Teams are not going all out with their pitchers. That was something that Mark DeRosa, the U.S. manager, actually mentioned earlier in the tournament, is that because of all the restrictions placed on pitchers by their teams, it affects how the manager is able to, you know, manage the game or deploy his pitching staff. But the fact that Ohtani threw 71 pitches over 4 2/3 innings just 3 days ago, he's unlikely to pitch in the semifinal, but likely to start in the final if Japan makes it on Tuesday. So a lot more excitement than usual this time of the baseball calendar, and there have been Phillies spread out all across this thing. You remember that Garrett Stubbs had a big hit for Team Israel, a game-winning double. Stubbs actually came back from the WBC early because of a minor knee injury, but he thinks he'll be ready for opening day. Ranger Suarez also came back from the WBC early after feeling something in his forearm after an exhibition start against the Astros back on March 8th. Now, it sounds like Suarez will be in the Phillies rotation the first week of the regular season, but we should expect to see him limited somewhat. You know, he hasn't been fully stretched out. So his first start, it might only be 2 1/3 innings. It might be 3 innings, something like that, as the Phillies get him prepared for that full workload, you know, of a 32-start season. But the rotation, you know, that's been a big topic over the last 10 days, 2 weeks of Phillies camp, really ever since the news came out in early March that Andrew Painter was dealing with that sprain in his right elbow. Obviously, when camp began, the Andrew Painter versus Bailey Falter battle for the fifth starter was the top, maybe the top storyline of camp. You know, there's the big picture storyline of how far the Phillies can go and these new faces in the clubhouse. But beyond that, fans were intrigued by the possibility of this 19-year-old top prospect cracking the big league rotation on opening day. You know, Painter had a chance to be the first player from his draft class, high school or college, to debut in the majors. But his debut is going to be delayed by at least a few months because he's, you know, dealing with that sprain in his right elbow. Painter won't pick up a baseball until the first few days of April at least. But it sounds like the Phillies expect him to be back at some point in 2023, and they expect Painter to be able to contribute at the big league level at some point in 2023. There have been instances where rest and rehab has worked for a UCL sprain. Now, that is the ligament, the ulnar collateral ligament that's associated with Tommy John surgery. When a pitcher has Tommy John surgery, that's the ligament that's being repaired. But surgical intervention is not always required. Usually it's required, but there have been instances such as Masahiro Tanaka pitching for years, carrying heavy workloads for years after rehabbing a UCL sprain via rest. Aaron Nola, the one season that he missed significant time in the second half of the season when he was shut down, with a similar elbow issue, rest and recuperation enabled him the next season to come out, be ready for opening day, and he hasn't looked back since. You know, Nola's carried the biggest workload in all of baseball over the last 5 years. So while it's not always the case that a pitcher can get through an elbow sprain or strain like this without surgery, it does happen. And that's what the Phillies are hoping happens in 2023, that Painter can come back here within a couple of months, and, you know, within a couple months be on a big league mound, delivering the type of innings that they hope they got early in the season. And, you know, to that effect, if everything works out with Painter, if he is back, if he is pitching for the Phillies by, say, June or July, it could turn out in some ways to be a blessing in disguise, because they were going to have to preserve his innings count either way. So if he made the big league rotation on opening day, Andrew Painter, you know, they're not having him go 5-6 innings, 30 plus starts. That's just not how teams use their pitchers. Painter's career high workload was last season when he pitched, I think it was 104 2/3 innings. So it would have been unrealistic to expect him to throw like 150 innings this year. You know, I don't think that there were, or 180 innings. I don't think the Phillies were ready to get him to that level just yet, because you also want the guy ideally to be able to help you in October, even if it's in a short burst relief stint. But the Painter injury, it put Bailey Falter in the driver's seat to win a rotation job. The Phillies have not said that Falter's won a rotation job yet, but it's pretty obvious just when you, you know, look at the remaining players, the number of seats that have to be filled, and who's on the 40-man roster. So the Phillies have Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler, Taijuan Walker, who should be good to go. Then Ranger Suarez, who appears like he'll be good to go the first week of the season, albeit in a limited fashion. Then beyond them, you're looking at Bailey Falter, who seems to have that number five spot. The only real depth option behind those five guys is left-hander Michael Plassmeier, who was acquired in a small trade in the middle of last season, ended up pitching pretty effectively for the Phillies down the stretch. He had an ERA in the twos in 16 starts at AAA for the Phillies down the stretch, and then he ended up pitching in game 162 for the Phillies last season, six innings of relief against the Astros, allowed just three runs, and he has started out spring training hot. He had pitched seven scoreless innings to begin camp, more of like a finesse guy who relies on pinpoint command is Plassmeyer, but he's turning out to be a pretty important depth piece for the Phillies. He's on the 40-man roster, and you know, some of these other options that were quote-unquote in play for the Phillies' rotation going into camp just haven't materialized. Mick Abel and Griff McGarry have already been reassigned to minor league camp, although Abel was brought back the other day to pitch because the Phillies just needed some healthy arms. But Abel and McGarry had already been reassigned. Christopher Sanchez, who's been talked about as being a candidate in that fifth starters battle, has barely pitched in camp. He was slowed early by a back injury and most recently by a hamstring injury. He hasn't pitched more than an inning yet, so he's not stretched out. So he's not a realistic component of that battle. I would think the Phillies are going to try to get Sanchez back stretched out and starting at Triple A so that he's able to provide depth as the season wears on. But right now, it does not look like an option. And then the other guy is Nick Nelson, the Phillies' long reliever last season, who started the first game of spring training this year, went an inning. Nelson hasn't been stretched out either. And right now he's dealing with a hamstring injury of his own. He's not going to be ready for opening day. So that means that beyond the Phillies' core five right now, there's Michael Plassmeyer and really not much else. I think that if the Phillies were to suffer another injury in their starting rotation, you know, they're going to have to look externally for help. And when I say externally, there's like nothing left in free agency. I mean, you have pitchers who really struggled last year, like veteran pitchers in their early to mid 30s who struggled last year, like a Chris Archer or a Dylan Bundy. But, you know, beyond that, you'd be looking at guys in other teams' camps who have opt-out clauses if they don't make the team toward the end of spring training. From a starting pitching standpoint, there's nobody that automatically jumps out because of how protective teams are over pitching. That's more so an avenue where you could see the Phillies figure out the end of their bench if they decide that a right-handed hitting center fielder is just absolutely necessary to the opening day roster, and they decide that Dalton Guthrie or Scott Kingery is not going to be able to effectively fill that role, then maybe you see the Phillies go out and explore picking up like a Jake Marisnyk if he gets let go by the White Sox, if he's not going to make their team. So something to keep an eye on at the back end of the bench as well. But, you know, we're not even to the week of opening day yet, and the Phillies are already being tested. Their depth is already being tested in the starting rotation. Because beyond the current injuries they're dealing with, keep in mind, Aaron Nola, last 5 years, leads all of Major League Baseball in innings pitched. Zach Wheeler, last 5 years, is fourth in all of Major League Baseball in innings pitched. You know, Wheeler, 2 seasons ago, led all of baseball in innings with 213 and a third. Then last season, he missed a month late in the year, but because of the Phillies' long playoff run, he ended up throwing 190 innings. So every year, every full season since dating back to, 2018 at this point, Zach Wheeler has pitched 180 or more innings. These guys are both getting older, Nola and Wheeler. I mean, what's the likelihood that they both make 32 starts, they both pitch 200-plus innings this year coming off of long playoff runs, coming into a season where the Phillies expect to go deep and want those two to be sharp and effective come mid-October, late October? We saw late last season that Wheeler felt fatigued down the stretch, certainly had to be somewhat a result of all the heavy workloads he's carried in recent years. The guy's averaged like 6 1/3 innings per start in 69 starts with the Phillies since joining them prior to 2020. So you have those two workhorses in Nola and Wheeler that you have to hope just stay on track, stay healthy throughout the season. But when you look at things that can derail a team's championship expectations, pitching injuries is right toward the top of the list. I mean, look no further than what's happening with the New York Mets right now. The Mets went out and spent all that money this offseason. They have this rotation that's built around Scherzer and Verlander. They have superstars, you know, up and down the roster, high-paid players all throughout the lineup. They re-signed their closer, Edwin Diaz, who's arguably the best closer in all of baseball right now. And Diaz has that freak injury in Puerto Rico's celebration during the World Baseball Classic. Looks like he's out for the season. That's a huge blow to the Mets. And that has a massive impact on the rest of the NL East because it makes every other Mets reliever, they have to step into a larger role than they were expecting. It's going to be more difficult for them to protect leads because you go from having the best closer in all of baseball to, you know, at best like a middle tier closer situation. So that's really going to affect the Mets. And just like seeing some of the quotes coming out of Mets camp in the days after that, you can tell how bummed those guys are. Brandon Nimmo, the Mets leadoff batter, also dealing with a knee injury, jammed his knee sliding into second base the other day. So we're starting to see some of these injuries pop up across baseball as March 30th nears. But look, there's still a ton of excitement. I mean, Trey Turner has shown in the World Baseball Classic why the Phillies paid him $300 million. I would think that every Phillies fan has been, you know, even paying attention to the WBC from afar, has to be really jazzed up over what they're seeing from Trey Turner, who has to be the best nine-hole hitter in the world right now. You have Turner, Realmuto, and Schwarber participating for Team USA. Bryce Harper's been back in Phillies camp talking about how much he wishes he was healthy so he could be with Team USA playing. I mean, he was one of the first guys to commit last summer. But, you know, obviously recovering from Tommy John surgery, Harper wasn't able to make that happen. The return date for Harper still, he's still like on track for a right around that All-Star break period. It would be great for the Phillies. It would be a coup for them if they could get him back slightly ahead of time. But in the meantime, they're going to be relying probably on the left-handed power of Darrick Hall the first few months of the season. Hall entered this spring training uncertain to make the team. It did seem to have like somewhat of an inside track because the Phillies knew they'd need left-handed power with Harper out. They saw the impact of Hall's power bat last summer when he had what was like 17 extra base hits and 130 or so plate appearances. Well, he's come into camp, Darrick Hall. He's been one of the Phillies' best hitters, hitting 293. As of the other day, was leading all of spring training in home runs and was toward the top in RBIs. I don't know if that's still the case, but he's hit for power. He's hit some against lefties, which is important. And he's also, Darrick Hall, made a point to be more selective at the plate. You know, that was something that you can tell was an emphasis for both Darrick Hall and Nick Castellanos this offseason, was more selectivity. Hall, you know, last year, 5 walks, 40 strikeouts. There's the obvious need for him to shrink the strike zone a little bit. But with Nick Castellanos, it's, man, is it crucial. Last season, we saw all year pitchers attack Nick Castellanos pretty much the same way with low and away breaking balls. And so I looked this up the other day because it became a topic over the last week because Castellanos has moved closer to the plate. He's moved closer toward the pitchers. And he's talked about just eliminating that pitch from his mind. Like, don't even swing at that pitch, that low and away slider. And there was a pretty good example of it last week where he was able to lay off of a low and away 1-1 slider that was a borderline pitch, close to a pitch that you would want to swing at. He lays off, ends up working a walk. You just see that when you can lay off that 1-1 pitch, that swing count, right? How much it can change the complexion of a plate appearance. But last season, Castellanos in those situations, he hit 043 on low and away breaking balls in a significant sample. He had just 4 hits all year on that pitch on something like 60 swings. So that many swings and only 4 of them resulted in hits. That just shows you it's not a pitch you should be trying to mess around with. But, you know, you could see Nick Castellanos having a better year if he's able to improve his selectivity. You could see guys like Schwarber having a better year without the shift. We've already seen the impact of not being able to have the overshift on the right side of the infield against a left-handed batter. However, I do still think that with the pull-happy left-handed hitters like a Schwarber, you could see some teams bring in a fifth infielder from the outfield and then go with a two-man outfield. Now, obviously, they'd be potentially hurting themselves defensively because they'd have just two, you know, a left center fielder and a right center fielder, so an extra base hit could be more damaging than ordinarily. But, you know, I think that as the season goes on, teams are going to see that it's still worth bringing in that extra outfielder against the pull-happy lefties. But those are all conversations that we're going to be having all throughout the season. For now, 9 games left of Philly spring training. You know, we're almost at the end here. And while all of that's going on, there's also a lot of baseball worth watching on Monday and Tuesday in the WBC because Japan and Mexico play Monday night. If Mexico advances, the Phillies could end up facing Taiwan Walker, their teammate, in the championship game. And what a storyline that would be. So thanks for listening to the Phillies Talk podcast. We'll be back here pretty soon.